we're going to have our regular business for the first third of the call and spend the balance on the new WebKMS work item to have a little bit more discussion about the detail of that work item proposal. Starting with our normal IP notes, anyone can participate in these calls. The calls are open to all. However, any substantive contribution of to our documents, our work items, must be made by members of the CCG who have agreed to the full IPR of the Community Credentials Group, which means if you have not done so, you should go to the W3.org Community Credentials Join link and get a W3C membership and join. We use where is it? Yes, there it is. We keep minutes and audio recordings of all these calls, and they're also archived on GitHub. You can catch up on any calls you've missed, both in text or the actual phone calls themselves. During the meetings, we cue speakers during the call, and we also take minutes. All attendees should type present plus, that's present, and the symbol plus to get your name on the agenda as in the documents as attending this event. And you can use the command Q plus to add yourself to the queue. With an optional reminder, you can say Q plus to mention a topic. It's important. It's that's Q plus space T-O and then whatever it is that you wanted to remind yourself. If you're not on our IRC, please ask to be put on the queue. And please be brief so the rest of us who are already in the queue can get a chance to chime in. You can always Q plus in again. Finally, this meeting is held by voice, not by IRC. Off-topic IRC comments are subject for deletion from the record. We work hard to maintain a single thread of conversation. The use of the IRC is for the queue and to be able to share links and other different types of things that are difficult to have in a pure voice channel. We need a scribe. Do we have any volunteers for scribes? Is there anybody who hasn't done it for a while who's feeling ready to volunteer?
Yeah, hi, this is Sumita. I can scribe if all I'm doing is just typing into the IRC chat. It's my first time doing it.
That'd be great.
Okay.
We appreciate it. Feel free to stop us if you don't recognize a voice or have any other problems.
Okay.
Okay, moving on the agenda. This is where we do our introductions and reintroductions. So is there anybody who's joined us today for the first time? I'm not hearing anybody speak up. So I will now go to the reintroductions list to see who hasn't reintroduced themselves for a while. Let's see who's on. Dan Pape, are you on? Joe Kaplan, are you on? Mike Water, are you on? Mike? Continuing down the list. Tall Ted, are you available? Tall Ted? Drummond, are you on?
Yes, I am here. I was wondering how far down the list we'd get.
Yep.
So if we're just
reintroduce yourself.
Sure. So I'm at a company called Everdim. I'm the chief trust officer at the Sovereign Foundation, one of the trustees, and I chair the governance framework working group. And then in standards work, I've been working on the DID spec for a long time. I'm one of the editors at the DID working group. And, very involved in the other standards in the space that we're working on here at CCG. So that's my background.
Thank you. So next is announcements, which for some reason... There it is. So these are up and coming events associated with the end of the year. So most importantly, there will be no meeting for the next 2 weeks. Both New Year's Eve and Christmas Eve, we will not be having community group calls. Marcus, will there be any DID resolution calls? Marcus or anybody else?
Is Marcus there? Let's see.
There will not be. He's made
okay.
It clear.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is the last calls for this group in the year. So I'll say in advance, everybody have a great holiday and break. And we will be beginning again the first week of January. Coming up down the pike, the DID community is meeting in Amsterdam on the 29th through 1st. I'm arriving early and leaving late and am available if anybody would like me to come to a meetup in, say, Berlin or Vienna or whatever. If you can help cover the fair, I'll be glad to join you and do a self-sovereign identity meetup wherever that last week of January, the first week of February. In March 16th through 20th, we will be having the next Rebooting Web of Trust, and the topic categories will be open two months before. So that'll be in January. Are there any other announcements that I've missed?
I put myself on the queue, Chris.
Joe, go ahead.
So we had previously discussed wrapping up the digital verification. Is that it, the name of it? Community group, Chris? I noticed that in the announcements. Since this is our last meeting of the year, I think we had told folks this was our plan to shut it down, give us feedback, and let's make sure we get any important work items transferred. Can you clarify where we're at on that process?
Yeah, we haven't. There are a number that have leads that have not responded. And I think we basically give them one last email, and we either archive their repo or move it to rebooting in January.
Okay. So do we have a URL for that for folks who may not? The W3C DBCG, I see the link data security, security vocab. I think that's the right repo.
Yes.
So here's the URL to the repo. I see Manu on the queue, but definitely if you have work in that repo, let's figure out how to put it in a better home. There's a lot of stuff in there.
Manu, go ahead.
Yeah, so I was on the impression that we were moving all of those repos over to the CCG and we weren't going to archive them. I'm fine with archiving them. I'm just a bit concerned.
If there's not an active person, then I don't know that we can do anything but archive them.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, I mean,
there's a lot in there. I didn't realize there was there, that.
Yeah,
that much.
There is a lot in there, and I mean, like, yeah. So let's be careful about hitting the archive button because, like, you know, I didn't know that we were going to archive, and I'm wondering if other people do, and like, for example, HTTP signatures is in the process of being moved over to ITF, and if we were to have archived it at the wrong time, that would have been not great.
We just need to be in communication. We will give everybody a chance. So,
okay.
But you know, they have to respond. So,
yeah. So how are we doing the messaging around that? Or are we
emailing people and talking here?
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, we mentioned it on an earlier call, but clearly that didn't get through. So, you know, if it takes a couple of months to transition out, it's just right now the three chairs here are maintaining two groups, but we're kind of not. So we want to just clean up the overhead.
Yeah. So maybe if I'm trying to suggest something concrete. So let's, you know, if we're okay to transfer repos, you know, everyone should just start doing that now. And then I think we raise an issue on every repo to say that it is going to be archived and then give it more than enough time, like 3 months, like end of March 2020, this repo will be archived unless it is moved to CCG. Would that address?
I don't know about 3 months, but yes, we can give, till end of February.
Okay. All right, so end of February, it'll be archived if it's not moved and raise issues on all the repos.
Yep.
Okay. Thanks.
Thank you, Manu.
Okay, continuing down the agenda, and progress on action items is our usual thing at this point, and that is this URL. So we use GitHub issues to manage our kind of day-to-day, week-to-week, what's going on. And all of these have reconnect. So starting at the bottom, there is an RSA digital signatures spec. That's one of the ones that is in the DBCG that needs to be moved. Um, So, Manu, do you have any comments on ability to rev that, move that, and rev it?
No. I think there was I think yeah, last time this came up, I can't do it and we need a volunteer to take over the spec. And I don't think that's
Okay.
really changed.
Okay. Without a volunteer, at the end of February, we will archive it. It'll still be available, but nobody will be able to add to it. The JWK Crypto Suite specification. So there's another one where, Uport, I thought, had said that they had were volunteering to catch that back up. Nobody's done anything on it in a year. Without somebody to take it on, we're archiving it in end of February. Update crypto suites to use Coze. This was initiated by Manu.
Wait, what? What was?
It was number
He
32.
initiate number 32.
Oh, got it. Sorry. I
Coze-based
thought I was
crypto
on mute.
suites.
Yes, and I think during the last call, I think we decided to close this. So I'd say
Okay.
flip close this.
Since you opened it, would you close it?
Yep, I'll do that.
Okay. Next one is number 88. How to support contributions to JSON LD context and supporting documents. So this is an ongoing problem of how do we and where do we store context for various documents? DID has some persistent places, but then where do DID methods store their contexts? And then there's context for some of these task forces like the educational verifiable claims task force. Ori, are
So,
you around?
yep, I'm here. So, there has been progress on this, but it's spread across the working group and various other locations and, for conversation. And I have been sort of holding off on trying to raise a PR because my understanding of what best practices keeps sort of evolving. Urgent that we sort of reduce issues. We could close it and I can reopen it when I get a clearer path forward on it. It's still my intention to open an issue on the VC data model and the DID working group repos to just describe how best to contribute to JSON-like data and provide some examples. And I'm still trying to get through to the point where I can do that number of references to provide. But I just need to jump in the water, I guess.
Okay. Well, thank you for helping us with that. The Verifiable Claims Working Group is moving towards well, it's complete with the standard, and it's moved. What's the term for the new status that it would have?
There is a
Is that
maintenance working group that is going to be rechartered.
maintenance?
It's going to be chartered as.
Right. And when does that final approval? Two more weeks or?
Yeah, it's in January. I have to look up the date. Do you know offhand, Manu?
I don't. I was just searching for it. And unfortunately, the vote's happening over the holidays, and we're not getting a lot of people voting because of that. But yeah, it'll be in January at some point. Or the
Right
rather, the
now, we
vote
do need,
closes then.
yeah, we do need the, what is the process that this group is helping you with, and where are the lines, and You know, clearly the repos and issues need to continue to be in the working group area, but the reviews and discussions and any non-working group documents are in the CCG. So we need to puzzle out a process for that.
January 9th, okay. End of the day, Boston time, is the final date for voting in favor of the charter. Which, to be clear, is voting for the creation of the group. So we do need people to do it.
Okay, well, this is another opportunity for everybody to pester their ACs that if they haven't voted, they should vote. So that we can continue to work on verifiable credentials. We still have a lot of stuff to do, especially since verifiable credentials were not allowed to really talk about protocols and things of that nature. As we define things further, as we have more schemas, as we begin to use verifiable credentials in various kinds of process flows, the discussion, the conversations will happen in this community, but it'll still be up to the members of the formal working group to accept those as possible items for addition to the official working group. VC chairs to send email about CCG to old VCWG list. So the idea there is that there were people that were on the old VCWG list who have not moved on to the DID group, and to let them know that there are activities involving verifiable credentials happening in the CCG. Has that email been sent out? Dan?
Sorry, I was talking muted, obviously. No, that hasn't happened yet. I believe the mailing list is still active, that they didn't close it. So let me just try sending an email now.
Okay. Need to host a schema for the current JSON LV signatures. Is related to the moving it to so Manu, what's sort of the story with the JSON LV signatures draft? Is it because it's not part of the JSON LV group, correct?
That is correct. Yep, it's separate, and it was in DVCG, the Digital Verification Community Group. It's pulled into the verifiable credentials JSON LV context. So, if you pull in the verifiable credentials context, you get everything that you need to do linked data signatures. But I think there was a request for what if I'm not doing a verifiable credential? I just want to put a bunch of data in a JSON object and use linked data signatures to sign it. I believe we can use the security context to do that today without issue, but nobody's written that up. Like, no one's written up a tutorial on how to do that.
Yeah. I have an iPhone app that does DTCR implicit DIDs, and we need to have a schema for implicit DIDs, and we need a schema for signing that implicit DID. So, and yet neither of those seem to really exist. So, what are next actions on this? Can we you've got so far?
Just to clarify. Can you repeat that about schemas or contexts for the IDs?
Well, I mean, we don't have a schema for a DID because it's, you know, I guess it's constantly changing. I know that BTCR is beginning to share DID, implicit DID documents, and we don't have a schema for it. And it's a very simple schema, but we don't have it. And then there's nothing for, we also need to publish extensions to that schema with, that are signed by JSON-LD, and we don't have, you know, examples of that. So we're still.
And by schema, we mean JSON schema specifically, right?
Correct. So I'm assuming there's a JSON-LD signature code, which we still don't have. We still have to have a schema live somewhere that works with whatever the current, you know, right now, as far as I can tell, Digital Bazaar version of JSON-LD signatures is. So where is the schema for that?
There's a queue.
Oops, sorry. Go ahead. Too many windows. Ori, go ahead.
Yeah, so we have a work item, I think, for verifiable credential JSON schemas. It's work that Transmute and Workday are working on, and I've done a lot to try and harmonize people who want to use JSON schema and people who want to use JSON-LD context. Like finding one way of representing both of those things such that you could link them both to verifiable credentials. And this repo, VC JSON schemas, has an example from Transmute's work with customs around a hypothetical credential format that would rely both on JSON schema and on JSON linked data. And there is an example checked into it. And it is entirely self-hosted in that repo and documented. So this is, you know, part of what I was saying before around I've got all this stuff trying to fix JSON linked data and JSON schema sort of best practices, and it's just sort of floating around all this. But there is this work item in this GitHub repo in particular, something that Workday working on together.
So I just sent to the room, this is a real testnet DID for BTCR, and I don't believe that it actually conforms to the context that we put in there, and we also have to sign that whole thing, and when we sign it, I don't know that we have a valid context that includes signing it. So that's what I'm speaking of. And then, you know, we're still have at the top here, there's a lot of sort of process thing on. We need to revise the process in the charter. We accepted a mission, but we didn't change the charter last year. We've got to be doing that in the beginning of the year, and we would really like to find somebody to help facilitate the chairs. You know, we have to have an election because we've been chairs for 3 years, and I think our term is two. So, you know, we would love to have somebody who would like to step forward and help us with some of these CCG processes and updating them and changing them, et cetera. I'm going to be speaking every week about that we need some additional help there. It's a great place to be able to contribute, especially if you're not feeling up for contributing to code or other things. term limits, what are those? Okay, well, that's the end of that. Now we move to the
Hey, Chris, I've been on the queue for the previous item.
Oh, I'm sorry.
That's all right.
I missed it. Sorry.
That's all right. So I wanted to ask the question, were we talking about JSON schemas or JSON LD contexts or linked data vocabularies? While I wanted to ask that question, you linked to this paste bin DID. That DID it has a JSON LD context on it for DID documents. It's correct and it works and that conforms to that context. So if you were asking about that, that is all working just fine. If we were talking about JSON schemas, which is something different, that's a separate subject, but in terms of JSON LD context, we have those for DID documents. We have linked data vocabularies for the security vocabulary that's used in linked data signatures. So I'm not sure where everything was going or what questions were being asked, but hopefully I've given some information there.
Sure. So to be specific, one, I didn't know that was a guess on that context, having all of that stuff. Secondly, this is not a signed document. So when we add signatures to it, it means there's more context needs to be added to support the fact that it has a signature. And I haven't, seen a final signature for 255 for this. The playground doesn't give one. I understand you have newer code, but the playground doesn't use it.
Okay. Yeah, I think the JSON LD playground is probably out of date. So that is an issue that we could look into.
Okay. Anything else on these items before we move to our main agenda?
I'm on the queue, Chris.
Okay.
I just want to say, so Chris mentioned two things that are pretty important. We need to update the charter for a couple of reasons, and we need to have an election. So we're planning on doing that in January. If you would like to help with, the future leadership of this group, chime in. We're going to have like one or two calls. We need to answer a few questions, and then we're going to propose the update to the charter, and then we're going to kick off the election process. So if you'd like to be more involved, this is a great opportunity to step up. So you can send Chris or me or Kim an email, and we'll include you in that process. That's it.
Tamira, go ahead.
Yeah, hi. So I'm curious as to what the requirements are to formally be part of, the election process, because USAA is still pending membership, so we've kind of been low-key, and we've been hesitant to even scribe because we're kind of lurking right now waiting for the membership process to be complete on our end. So what are the requirements for election?
Well, you don't have to be. Yeah, you don't have to be a W3C member. You only have to be a member of the community group, which is a much lower standard, which is just, individuals can join it. If you are a W3C member, your company has to nominate you, but you can always join as an individual. So a number of us are not joined, through a W3C company, but are joined solely as individual members of the CCG. That help?
Yep, thank you.
Yeah, so there is a link that gives some more details on that where is it? You basically get just a regular W3C account. As an individual, you don't have to become a full member, and then you go to and when you join the group, it will basically ask you as a join the community group. It will ask you to accept that community agreement, which is a lightweight agreement that's not as strong as the W3C full membership agreement for working groups. Okay, the speaker queue is empty. Our agenda today, a main part of our agenda, is on the web KMS work. So we approved this as a new work proposal, and they have they have a existing repo under Digital Bazaar, which should probably be moved now that it's been approved as a work item. And we have made a empty space for them to do that move if they like. Joe, go ahead.
Sure. I just wanted to note, in case some of you looked at the Digital Bazaar listed repo. So there are a few misconfigurations in there. Don't worry about that. We're going to fix that. I know one of them was already fixed. There's still a couple others. But the intention here is this is going to move into a repo. And I want to queue up, man. I think you said you just moved the repo over or transfer it. You want to talk about how we would get that into the next system?
Sure. I mean, so the easiest thing, so one of the things that we care about with any specification that may go standards track is we have to make sure that the intellectual property commitments on the document are very clear. And to do that, we have to make sure that we preserve as much of the history of the document. That includes any modifications, changes made, issues created, people interacting with the specification, things like that. So ideally, we would just transfer the repository, the ownership of the repository from DigitalBazaar over to the CCG. There's a standard feature in GitHub that allows you to transfer repositories. And that would just make everything come across, no problem. And then we would go and fix those things in the header of the specification that Joe was talking about, which is that, you know, it would become an official CCG work item. It would be covered under the W3C IPR regime and all that kind of stuff. So I'm making it sound more complicated than it is. It's just click a button and then the chairs pull it into the CCG repo. I don't know, now that there's another repo called WebKMS in the CCG, I don't know if that would cause any issues. So we just need to coordinate offline, I think, on that, as long as everyone's okay with that.
We can also delete. Yeah, we can just delete that one also, if necessary. So, you know, you can either do a cherry pick because I think it's a fork currently, and to update it, or, you know, delete it, and then we just, use the UI to move the whole repo over.
Yep, sounds good. So we'll figure it out offline, but yeah, there are multiple ways of us moving it over to preserve history.
Now, at this point, I wasn't at the last meeting. Did we have another company that was going to be joining you as editors?
Yes, Transmute Ori volunteered, I think, when this came up before. Okay. So thank you, Ori.
Okay. So we should add that. And do you have a start on Section 4 at all, the data model itself?
No. So it may be useful to kind of go back over what the spec's about and where we are in the development process. I don't know if the chairs wanted us to do that today.
Please, yes. That was definitely what I wanted. I don't know if anyone's on the queue right now, but I pushed to get this on the agenda and make sure we had this call because I wanted to have that more in-depth presentation so people get a sense of how WebKMS is intended to fit into the architecture so they can contribute if they're interested.
Got it. Okay, so I can launch into that right now. So the ecosystem that all of us are putting together have a variety of different components to them, right? So, you know, the Aries and Diff, community has this, concept of agents. There's a concept of digital wallets. We are now talking about the concept of personal data stores and identity hubs, encrypted data vaults. And there's an aspect of the ecosystem that we haven't talked about in much depth. So there was a paper around DKMS, decentralized key management, a while ago, And this specification is called WebKMS. It's a part of kind of that key management part of the ecosystem. So the one thing that I want to make very clear here is that people shouldn't have very strong feelings about the WebKMS specification. It is one way of doing key management. It is not the only way, and it doesn't have to be the standard way that we do it. It's kind of an optional part of the ecosystem, such that if you do want kind of interoperable key management, this is one way that you could do that. So the section, let's see, where is it? Let me kind of point to some of the use cases here. So if you want to wrap your head around what this is doing, section 1.2 is useful. It talks about use cases and requirements. But to back up a bit, so why are we doing this spec? So there are already kind of key management APIs that exist at W3C. Web authentication is one of them. And WebAuthn allows you to use like hardware-backed keys to do digital signatures when you interact with websites. So things like FIDO keys and the Nitro keys, and there's just a whole bunch of personal hardware-backed keys that can be used through the web. WebKMS is complementary to that technology. In fact, it layers on top of the FIDO stuff, as well as a number of other proprietary key management systems. So if you look at Microsoft Azure, if you look at Amazon Web Services, if you look at, you know, DigitalOcean, there are a number of organizations that have developed basically proprietary hardware-secured key management systems. And the interfaces into those systems are fairly they're not standard, right? So what WebKMS attempts to do is it tries to build an interface in front of these various different proprietary key management systems, as well as some of the open ones. So for those of you that are not familiar with what a key management system does, it's usually a black box of some kind, where you can tell it to do things like digitally sign this information or verify that this digital signature is correct or, protect this cryptographic key, because I'm sending it to someone else over a hostile network connection like the internet. Or encrypt this data or decrypt this data, right? So that's it. I mean, key management systems are actually pretty simple, straightforward things. In fact, they have to be because they're security devices. And so all we're talking about here is a black box that can digitally sign data, verify data, wrap and unwrap keys, and then maybe encrypt and decrypt data. And the special thing about this black box is that in many cases, it is impossible or nearly impossible to exfiltrate the private key from that box. So you can have a pretty strong assurance that no one has stolen a key from that black box, and there are mathematical ways of proving that that is true. So having a digital signature on a key to say that this was actually generated on a YubiKey, using a system that does not exfiltrate the key, and so on and so forth. So this, all of this WebKMS stuff matters if we're going to start using DIDs and verifiable credentials for high-risk use cases, like transferring tens of thousands of dollars or digitally signing something saying that someone has even something like I've graduated from a certain university, or this person is a medically trained professional, or this person has been barred as being a medical professional due to malpractice. All of those things probably need some kind of really secure way of digitally signing and protecting the keys involved there. So that's what WebKMS is in a nutshell. It's a way of doing these kinds of transactions that really need to be secured. Let me stop there and see if there are any questions, at least high level on the specification use cases. And there's a queue. Christopher, you're up first.
Yeah, so I've been dealing with some of the same territory, but more from the self-sovereign keys perspective. And so, you know, we're trying to puzzle through things like, recovery scenarios, both individual recovery and social key recovery. We're trying to support multi-sig scenarios where there's, you might have a Trezor and a Ledger and, an iPhone that together have to cooperate in order to have a quorum in order to sign something as an individual. And then there are the true multi-sig where you actually have multi-people multi-sig. Are you looking at any of that scope of things, or is it really purely just wrappers around the FIDO type APIs?
It's mostly wrappers around the FIDO APIs and the AWS and Azure APIs. But those use cases are very much top of mind. This is supposed to be kind of a foundational layer that you can build those use cases on top of. So absolutely multi-sig, multi-device sig, recovery, we have to care about those use cases because we have to make sure that this base foundational layer works. But our expectation is that stuff's done a bit higher in the stack through, linked data proofs, linked data signatures, and protocols that build on top of web KMS.
Okay. So we have, Joe and I shared a document called What's in Your Wallet as a topic paper for the last rebooting. It didn't rise to become a final paper, but it has a bunch of diagrams in it around, what those different pieces are in an identity wallet. And it isn't quite clear to me when I look at that diagram where exactly the KMS fits. And I would love to, since we're going to be iterating on that, I would love for you guys to help us figure out, where does web KMS fit into that, larger wallet architecture thing. Did you have a chance to see that from rebooting?
I did, but I can't remember. But yes, absolutely. I mean, I think it's mandatory that we take a look at that. There's another diagram. Anyway, we need a good diagram to show people where the web KMS stuff fits in. Looking at the queue, Jonathan Holt's up next.
So my reservation as far as like web wrappers around certain tools. So it's a lot of with great power comes great responsibility. So wrapping these into different the SIPS cards or the key with a PKS 10 and 15 software. Even I'm looking. I don't use my Ledger Nano anymore because of the vulnerabilities in JavaScript and that interface with the web page. So I think it's I have some reservations about making sure it's done. I guess certainly building standards around it, but wow, it has a lot of responsibility to do it right.
Thanks, Jonathan. I put myself on the queue to respond to that. Adrian, you're next.
Okay, so my focus is on the separation of concerns as relates to access to resources and interaction between agents. And I am curious because I'm hoping that the concerns separate cleanly across all the various communities. I'm curious if there's any interaction between web KMS and the storage access control protocols, for instance, that you mentioned at the beginning, or if that's pretty clear that they're separate. And I'll simply mention this. In the model that I use, the issue of verifiable credentials is not visible at that level. except to the extent that we choose to encode a capability for authorization capability as a verifiable credential, in which case there may be a VC, a standard VC involved.
Got it. I put myself on the queue to respond. Adrian, Dave's up next.
Right. I want to mention two things. First is I put some links to some open source libraries for WebKMS client and what we're calling a switch, which is a component for switching between different KMS modules that would plug into a server. And you would have to create your own plugins for whatever type of backend system you want to hook up. The other thing I want to respond to a little bit was something Christopher was talking about with respect to deciding who has control of keys, key recovery, and that sort of thing. I want to say there's a concept of key stores in WebKMS where you can have one or more keys in one of these stores. And each of these stores has its a controller, one or more controllers that's specified. But how you manage those controllers or change them or whatever you do with them is handled at a different layer. All of this stuff works cleanly with, for example, using authorization capabilities where you can give out capabilities to sign with different keys or perform different operations with different keys depending on the type of key, and you can do delegation with that. And then you can use different applications either through an HTTP API or through a web app to invoke different KMS operations.
Yep. Okay, so I put myself on the queue to respond to Jonathan and then Adrian. Jonathan, yeah, absolutely correct. There's a huge amount of responsibility here to design this thing properly, because if you don't, like, all, you know, the security layer is broken, and that affects a whole bunch of stuff that's built on top of it. So there needs to be quite a heavy amount of security engineering that goes into this. It's not web only. So Ori and I have been talking about, like, you know, would it be possible for us to define an API that is fundamentally a local library a local API, meaning like it's just an API that applications use locally that everyone can program to. And in some cases, all it does is it just goes to your mobile phone and uses the secure element to do something. But in other cases where you're concerned about your mobile phone being stolen or seized or taken away from you, in other cases, it works with the secure element on your mobile phone to actually invoke a key, like assigning a key on a remote system, another WebKMS system. So it looks like you're making a local call, but you're actually making a call back to either a server that you have under your control or at a provider that you trust to actually do the digital signature. But from like a developer perspective, you don't really care whether or not the API is reaching out to a key on your phone or reaching out to a key in a data center, right? So I don't want people to come away with the idea that this is an HTTP only API full stop. I think there is interest in figuring out a way of doing just a local API that will either directly plug in with FIDO and the WebAuthn stuff, or go and hit, for example, AWS's or Azure's proprietary key management system. Okay, so that's the yes, great power comes great responsibility, and you don't think of this as HTTP only. We want to do local APIs as well. I put myself on the queue to respond to Adrian. About the separation of concerns thing, absolutely, we want a really good, strong separation of concerns between these various subsystems. There is architectural layering going on here. We expect, this is not the only way that it can be configured, but we expect that, you know, the Aries agents or, you know, the digital wallets of the world will end up interfacing with WebKMS systems, or they can interface with WebKMS systems to do digital signing, whether it is issuing a credential or accessing an encrypted data vault or an identity hub, or doing any kind of cryptographic operation. So WebKMS has been designed to play nicely with this ecosystem that all of us have been building for the past however many years. But it is an optional thing. Like, so for example, if you want to hard code to Android's, the way Android does key management, you can do that and you can choose not to use WebKMS. But what we're hoping is that so many of us need to interact with key management systems and secure key management systems that having a standard way of doing it is going to reduce the developer burden and therefore increase the rate of adoption for this ecosystem. And that's it. And I think the queue's Dave, you're on the queue. Go ahead.
I don't remember what I was on. Oh, that was just from before. Yeah, I just plus one what Manu said. This stuff is all supposed to layer nicely. WebKMS should play nicely with EDVs, signing VCs, working with agents. This stuff is all designed with a layer in mind and creating a standard interface so people can stop having to write multiple multi-point integrations. They can code to a single API and then hook up KMS modules on the back end.
Yep. And with that, back over to the chairs, since we're almost out.
Okay. Are there any other agenda items we need to close with? So again, we're not meeting in the next 2 weeks. Our next meeting is the first Tuesday of January, which is the 7th. So we've got a nice break there. Hope everybody can come back nice and refreshed from their holidays and be ready to dive into closing up a number of these items. Just checking back to see if there's anything in the queue. Nope. Okay, so we call the meeting closed. Everybody have a great holiday.
Thanks a lot.
Bye.